You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, and Ashley Thornburg is with me, as well as Sue Belcom, because it's time for Main Street Eats.
And Sue joins us from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We are kind of in the season where we've done a bunch of yard chores, and obviously it's not really time for harvest yet, but there is still some maintenance here for our early plants.
Maintenance, yes. June is one of my favorite months because after May you have, you know, your planting's usually done by Memorial Day weekend, and then you can kind of like take these little garden tours. And the only thing that you're really doing much of right now is watering until things start growing. Even the weeds aren't growing yet in my mind. But we have to take very good care of anything that's been newly seeded or newly planted, you know, protect them from the wind. But watering is very important this time of year, as well as maybe having a tea party for your garden.
Oh, how do you do that?
Not in the garden. For the garden?
For the garden,
okay.
Yes. It's tea time for your garden. And this is like, if you have a small-scale garden or you're growing things in pots, this is one of the best ways to make use of some of the things that you would normally compost or throw in the city bin and make your garden some compost teas. And there's all kinds of teas that you can make. And one of my favorites, of course, is banana peel tea. Bananas, as you know, are loaded with really good things like potassium, phosphorus, and calcium. So not only are they good for you, you should save all of those banana peels because that is one of the best and easiest fertilizers you can make for your garden.
So do you for sure want to be buying an unsprayed banana then?
I always buy organic bananas, and I do because the price is nearly the same as the regular bananas. Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
now you can use the peel.
I can use the peel.
Okay.
And so I would keep the peels in my compost bucket. And naturally, fruit flies love banana peels, really love banana peels. So there's two ways that you can do this and not have your husband yelling at you for those little flies that are hanging around your kitchen sink. And one is I used to live in this, rent this little house in Mandan. And my next door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who encouraged me to garden. Like, we would have little races in the spring to see whose radishes would come up first. And sometimes I'd go out in the wintertime and I'd find seed packets tucked underneath my doormat after he shoveled my sidewalk for me so I could walk
him
to work. I know. And, well, of course, he'd used to get up about 4 in the morning and crush aluminum cans, too. I never could figure that out. But it's right outside my bedroom window. Anyway, another thing he would do is he had an enormous garden. And every year he would dig a trench that he would leave empty. And his kitchen scraps, like banana peels, he would take them out and he would bury them in that row. And then the next year, his row would be next to that. And he would just move along his garden every year with his one trench. So if you want to get rid of your banana peels right away, you could always just bury them. And rose bushes love to have banana peels buried around them. They love that potassium in there. But if you're not digging in your garden, if you're not able to do that, then you would want to keep a large pitcher of water in your refrigerator, and then you could just add your banana peels to that water. That will keep them from getting brown and icky and growing those little bugs, which I don't know where they come from, but they're always there.
You know, Sue, when I was a kid, my mother was always saying, use it up, wear it out, do with it or do without. And that's, of course, what you're doing here when you're putting, you know, compost in your garden. You're using stuff that we normally now throw out in the garbage and goes to, you know, a dump or whatever.
Right. And you do know that when that stuff, whether it's organic or not, gets buried so that it can't be oxygenated by the anaerobic bacteria that usually eat that kind of stuff up, it never really decomposes.
Well, that gets to my question here. When you're talking about tea time for the garden, how much water are you throwing in on the banana peeler? How do you make the tea?
Okay, so first of all, you've got a pitcher in your refrigerator, and this works with eggshells also. Although eggshells don't generate those little bugs, so I usually leave those alone. But you make a kind of a concentrated banana peel syrup, and then you use 5 parts of water to 1 part of your banana peel. And so you can kind of guess, because I don't think you can overdo it. Uh-huh. Like, you can't burn out your plants by using an organic fertilizer that's made in such a simple way as this. So with your banana peels or your eggshells, actually what I do is I take a kitty litter bucket that has one of those lids that lifts up on one side and it's solid on the other.
Yeah.
This was JC's invention. He drills holes in it, right? So then I fill that up 3/4 full of water, and then I add eggshells and banana peels to it, and I leave it outside because it's still cool enough at nights so that it's fine. And then you pour that, and the holes in there will allow the water through, but not the eggshells or the banana peels.
Ah.
And so you have kind of like a built-in strainer there, and it works perfect for doing this kind of thing.
Oh, smart.
Yep, yep. That's JC is an inventor by nature for sure. Now, in addition to using eggshells for tea, you can actually save your eggshells out of your regular compost bin, rinse them off in water if you're worried about them smelling, but they dry up pretty fast. And then I just fill an ice cream bucket with eggshells, and then you can pulverize those in your blender or crush them with a mortar and pestle, and then you can dig them in around your rose bushes or your other flowering whatever you plant. Calcium is good for tomatoes and peppers too, so you'll want to make sure that you dig some into that part of your garden also. But yeah, you can kind of use that as a ground dressing dry. You don't even have to mess with the water part of it.
Well, I saw your list here, and you've got various tea kind of elements, bananas you mentioned, eggshells you mentioned, manure tea. Now, is that where you study the windrows and you make sure that that is setting outside somewhere downwind?
Yeah. You know, I knew somebody out at the that was in the farm to school program that her garden was the healthiest garden on the planet, and that was her secret, was the manure tea that she made. So now you can use chicken manure, horse, cow or sheep, but you do not ever use manure from cats or dogs because they're carnivores.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So you want a plant-eating animal manure. And, you know, you don't really want to ever put that stuff straight on the garden. You know, it'll burn out your garden. I've heard so many horror stories from people who actually, their husbands have been well-meaning. They'll put a load of manure on the garden and they can't grow anything but corn for the next 4 years because the nitrogen is too high. So it has to be, if you can get some that's been on the farm for 6 or 7 years so that it's been well composted, it's way, way better for your garden. And so you want to just steep for 2 or 3 days your manure in a bucket of water. I always use 5-gallon pails, you know, and you can fill the pail 1/3 full of manure and the rest with the water. Let it steep and then dilute this with more water. It should be the color of iced tea, which we all are pretty familiar with that color. And then dilute it in water again, probably 3-to-1 or 5-to-1 in a watering pot, you know. And yes, you know, if it's not well composted manure, if you happen to have your own chickens and you're scraping up stuff there, you're going to get that urine smell or that uric acid smell, mm-hmm. and it's going to burn your nose. So you might want to wear your mask while you're doing this. But, you know, a lot of farmers will tell you that's the smell of money.
Well, I also noticed on your list weed tea. So you can pull all these weeds and actually put them to work?
I am actually a firm believer that whatever you pull out of the ground can go back into the ground. The Ruth Stouth method of gardening is all about pulling your weeds, piling them up on the ground, letting the sun dry them out, and then using them to mulch around your plants. And then you just keep piling them on, and they keep going into the ground. But you can actually, you know, like if you don't like a messy garden, I have one garden that's like really messy, and it's got all kinds of stuff laying on top of it, weed-wise and straw-wise. But pull those weeds out, put them in a bucket, and make sure that they've not yet gone to seed. That is the key to so many things about keeping your gardens weed-free, pulling your weeds, using your weeds before they go to seed. So you're weeding your garden, you're throwing them into a pail, you're pouring the water in, you're letting it steep for a few days. You can let it go for like 3 weeks behind your garage because, trust me, ain't nothing going to bother it. And when it turns black and starts to stink, which, yes, gardening and farming smells once in a while, you want to strain that out with a cloth, an old dish towel, cheesecloth, whatever you want. Strain the water out. Once again, you can dilute it, five parts to one, or, you know, however you feel comfortable with. I've never killed anything off using this process. And then water around the base of your plants. There are some plants that benefit from foliar application, which would mean you could put it in a sprayer. You know, those pump sprayers, which I really love those things. For fruiting and flowering plants, you can actually do a little bit of spraying and make sure that's well diluted when you do that, because you don't, if you put a fertilizer, any kind of fertilizer spray in water on a leaf and the sun comes out, it sometimes magnifies 10 times more than just plain old water on your leaves. So, and don't do this before dusk. If you're going to spray anything on your plants, they don't like to have wet leaves at night. That kind of like encourages bacterial growth and other kinds of things that will kill off your plants. So if you're going to spray anything, do it early in the morning, preferably before the wind comes up at 10 o'clock, which it's notoriously there at 10 at my house. Every day.
All right. Tea time for the garden with Sue Balcom. It's always a pleasure to check in with you for Main Street Eats, Sue.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Dakota Datebook is next.